And we're back here once again with another episode of the Iron Man podcast, episode 374 with Rogue Hero once again. This is going to be his fourth appearance, so that makes him the first guest to have four appearances on the show. Like a lot of people like these, so I got to make sure I space them out, you know, because like the very first one you did, you're going through a life journey. The next one, there's another arc. The next episode, there's another arc. And now we're on this arc, actually. It feels like,
Next one, MSA, I have a beard finally.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, when your kid comes back from school and he's like, and you're like, just tell me about your day, son. You know, it's like kind of like that at this point. Everyone just kind of goes off, does their own thing, and they come back to me and they have their problems.
I get my one random interview. This is therapy for me. Let's go. My one interview every 3 months with MSK.
Shit. Good Lord.
Well, there's a line. I got me some weed. Give me a good night. We're on Rumble.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, you can say whatever you want on Rumble. You know, on YouTube, well, they're pretty...
Hard R.
Oh, shit. God damn. Mm. Well, let's just start here. The Yu-Gi-Oh! Trading card game, this goes to show you, man, that this game is probably ran by nothing full of idiots, you know?
I wouldn't even say that. I would say it's ran by people who don't give a fuck, but they know the community is going to just not do anything about it, so they don't have to make things better.
Yeah.
Because Konami's smart. They obviously have us spending our money, so I wouldn't say that they're dumb. I would say that they're outdated with their thinking. And they know the community's not going to do anything about it. So it's one of those things, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Why buy the cow when you're getting the milk for free?
Yeah. And you know what's crazy, man, is a lot of the players don't even understand how like their local shop is run. They think, and I'm pretty sure this is what most people think if you ask them, if you buy like, let's say you bought a Fire King structure deck, they're thinking like Konami gets a cut of that because that's how most businesses work. You buy something, the actual, you know, person who gives you the item gets a cut of it. People gotta understand, that's not how that works. That's not how that works with local card shops. Basically, they get these things called previews from the distributor about the products coming out. So the local card shop owners already know what's coming out way in advance before we do. You know why? Because they have to pre-order it so you can have it on that weekend so you can buy it, right? So they, by default, have to know what the new stuff is because they have to know what they're pre-ordering. So people got to understand, Konami, so it basically goes maker, distributor, the distributor, you know, makes money off the local card shops buying from said distributor. Konami already gets paid. They already get paid up front. They already make their money, no matter what the decision is, right? No matter how good or bad the product is, Konami gets paid. So they're in a position where, like you said before, why would they change? Because they already get their money up front constantly. They're always going to get paid, you know? And as long as they're getting their money and you have that guaranteed business, I mean, you know.
I mean, how will you make them change? I can see why people say, hey, they'd rather get it front than if you're buying it from a shop or supporting Konami, because even though they're getting it from the distributor, if people stop buying from the car shops on a grand scale, the distributors will cut back on buying Yu-Gi-Oh! From Konami, which causes a problem for them. So every little bit helps support Konami, but at the same time, it's up to the players to like make things better.
Yeah, because that's the thing, man, is people got to understand, if you're buying that stuff from your local shop, that directly supports them. You're not even really technically supporting Konami. Like, big box retailers like Walmart, Target, your local car shop owners, the ones that carry the product, they support Konami. You know, that's what a lot of people don't understand.
It's kind of like the whole thing where it's like, when in the comic book industry, where distributors are going to fucking buy the product anyway and give them to comic shops.
Yeah, it works the exact same.
It's going to force the distributors not to buy this shit because it's crap product. But I want this is going to sit in a factory and collect dust.
So the difference with comic books is there's a lot of like characters with individual like titles. So what they do in comic book shops is that, you know how you have like special variant covers that look different from like the main ones? In order to get that special variant cover, they have the shops buy a certain amount of other titles that may or may not sell, you know? So you'll be stuck with like a bunch of dead inventory comics that you can't sell only to get that one special variant cover that everyone's going to buy from you. Like,
because you had to buy that's $1,000, right?
Right? So that's why people kept saying like the models these shops operate under are completely just like super like this is just that's so archaic, is it not?
Yeah, like that's too old school, but there's no, nothing's going to change. We have the dollar. So I'm on the last step. I might get what you're saying on how to it legally works, but if people, everyone said, fuck it, we're not buying comics, we're not buying Yu-Gi-Oh, Magic, Pokemon, even though Magic Pokemon is not that bad by compared to Yu-Gi-Oh. If people just stop buying, then these big companies would have to force a change or scrap the product.
Right. Because that's the thing. It's, to be fair, people got to understand, you hold a lot more power than you think you do.
You definitely do.
You're the ones who supporting the local card shops supports them in buying new stuff. That's how that directly works. You know, that's, remember how we had that that Yu-Gi-Oh company that was revealed to be a distributor? I forgot what it was called.
I didn't know about that. What one?
No, it was back, you were still very competitive at the time. You remember it was like Yu-Gi-Oh Daily or something? They were like based out of like New Zealand.
Yu-Gi-Oh Daily?
Yeah, but it turns out they were a distributor. So that means they didn't actually... Yeah, they ended up shutting down a long time ago. So kind of find out they're a distributor, actually. So they could basically cut out the middleman of local card shops and just sell directly to players, actually.
What, weren't they doing that?
Yeah, and you can't do that as a distributor because that's a conflict of interest, actually. That's a huge conflict of interest. Well, you can't do that.
Wild.
Yeah, yeah. So instead of, because like all this kind of works with like middleman shit. Well, if the distributor cuts out the local card shop and he could just sell to you, and you're going to give him a flat guarantee, like, you know, $600 for a case. I mean, that's just more customers.
There's a place for the local card shop, at least for like games like Yu-Gi-Oh, Magic, and Pokemon, because people do want that player-to-player in-person interaction. People do like going to tournaments and playing in person. But I don't know if that number of people who like going to locals is enough to keep those businesses running.
That's the thing, is most of them make their money online selling like Funko Pops, those toys that people, the ones that you see at your local shop, those ones that look really aesthetic, like those Dragon Ball Z ones and manga. That's how they make all their money, selling online.
It's online, yeah.
Yeah. So like they kind of just would essentially need you guys to kind of just pay like the other bills, maybe like electric bill, internet, water, all that kind of shit.
Also advertisement too. Like shops make some money from like walk-in customers, from my knowledge.
Right. Yeah.
Like my local shop, they just closed down, but they're opening back up because they had to get another store. Mm-hmm. They do flea markets on Sundays. So
what's that mean? What is that? I never heard of that. What is that?
You know, flea markets? I bet you guys have that in Cali.
No, not in my area.
You know what Frankenstein's is?
Yeah, I've been there.
It's a flea market. It's
like a
little shopping center that's like a mall, but it's not a mall.
You might
see like off-brand clothes. You might see a guy selling like DVDs.
Yeah,
this is how it used to be back in the day, but nowadays it's different. I heard, but like you might be able to go there and buy like an anime sword. Have like an anime little shop that sells anime shit. But it's like all like little, it's like little booths.
Okay.
So think of Frankenstein. That's a flea market. I've never been, but that's what a flea market is. So the shop locally to me, a few car shops, they go to those flea markets and they sell stuff. Because people, you know, they set up a booth. People come by and they make like maybe make a couple $100 a day, which helps pay the rent. So, and they get their business out there, catering events. Like they had a Pokemon party one time, I know. That this parents rented their room for like a birthday party for their kid that was into Pokemon.
Well, and that's the thing also is I'm pretty sure the locals that you show off in your vlogs, I'm pretty sure they're like the closest locals in like that vicinity. So even if you cap out on certain players spending money, well, you're going to get all that guaranteed customers. Those are guaranteed people paying you money.
Yeah, the shops told me that they don't make their money on the players at all. It's really...
Yeah.
Everything's online.
Online, yeah.
I'm like, this place has to be probably like maybe... This is like technically an office space. So it's probably like, what, $2,000 to rent? Then you got to have the overhead, electricity, everything. So let's say $3,000 to rent this business a month. How the fuck are you profiting? I'd just be wondering, like, how are you guys?
Yeah, because to profit, you would have to make like $4,000 a month to be profitable. You know,
I mean,
you can't be spending like $3,000 and need $4,000 to be profitable. That'd be almost
But you also got to think about their rent.
There's taxes.
They have lives, cars.
Yeah,
where is the money coming from? But I know one shop owner to this other shop I go to now. he's young. He's probably like maybe 29 or 30. He owns the shop. He goes to different events. I don't know. Maybe he's selling drugs. So do I fucking know? Like, I'm like, how the fuck are you running this shop?
Dude, V like, at one point.
Yeah, you sell out tournaments. You sell out tournaments, right? You guys have amazing prize structure for your locals.
Yeah.
So you sell product online, but you also try.
Because the thing that a lot of people don't see, man.
You're like, what the hell? I'm not trying to count no one's pockets, but it's like, where's the profit at? Like, are you really making money off of like Yu-Gi-Oh selling? I don't know.
There's no way, man. Because
you're talking about making at the very least 80K, $8,000 a month.
That could come in. Yeah.
What you probably pay for your card, your business, fucking your rent if you have rent. So it's like a lot of shit to factor in. And rent in Illinois ain't cheap.
Yeah. Because that's the thing, man, is the locals that I've always gone to, they charge like, I don't know how much your locals charges for entry. Don't most charge like $5, $10, right?
My local, so it depends on what day. Like on double payout days where they pay you double pricing, which is like, I asked one of the guy employees, like, how do you guys do double payout? What the fuck? Dude, you know what the prize pool for Saturday was? $400 and it was only 20 players, bro. We was in that bitch like Bloodsport. It was fucking amazing. I love it. But they said they gave me a specific way how they profit. My point is though, I don't know how do you do that long term. I'm lost in the sauce.
Yeah, because dude, you got to kind of factor in it. Like if it's just Yu-Gi-Oh, that Ruxin video. To be fair, I could have probably did a video like that and told people that stuff because I knew that stuff a long time ago. What he said is true. That he made a video detailing about all these bad products that were coming out from Konami and how much like they charge versus how much the shop actually makes. Now people think like, you do get a discount, but it's not really that much of a discount though. Like, let's say it's tins, right? I forgot how much a case of tins cost. Isn't it like $600? Well, if you get a discount for a store, it's like $6 off each tin. And I think there's like, I forgot how many tins are in. I think it's like 24 or whatever. Like, people have to factor in. Stores don't just order one case like you would. Stores have to order four or five cases. Right. So if that case doesn't sell and you maybe only open one and sold like three or four tins, you got all that. That's just dead inventory that doesn't sell.
I just thought about something.
Yeah.
My second locals I've ever been to, Galaxy Comic Zone.
Yeah.
I do know that owner profits. The reason why he profits is a fucking loophole. The owner is a real estate agent, and he bought the property and got locked in to only paying $600 rent.
Ooh, and that locals, I can see why. Yeah,
that locals has been there since the fucking early 2000s, like since at least 1997, 98. He's been owning that property since like 98.
Probably because the landlord needed to have that property sold or that built that. Part of that building sold. So he was the person that probably previously owned it probably just wanted to sell it for whatever, honestly. Because it's passive income every month. Guaranteed.
He got locked in, so I'm like, I know he's making profit, but I know doesn't have that deal. And that's a nice shop too. Like it's in a good area. It's down the street from my high school.
Yeah.
The room is not as big. It's not like walking into a closet, but it's like, it's enough to hold maybe like a 15-man locals comfortably. Anything, but back in the day, we used to have like 30-man tournaments where
people
used to have to go outside and wait until a table cleared up to play their round. Like it used to be crazy, but like I'm just like I could see that shop making profit, and they don't have an online presence. They just
and dude, you got to think about this. Think about all those bad Yu-Gi-Oh products that came out that no one's interested in buying because people don't understand about Yu-Gi-Oh, which is that's Legendary Soulburner. The only valuable cards in there are the Salamangreat cards. Well. A local also can't just like open all their shit and put it out on display. First of all, it takes a lot of money. It takes a lot of time to do to crack a product, sort it, sell it, especially doing it yourself. Then not only is everything not valuable, is that really worth cracking open like a case to grab like a few cards to put in your display case for like $120? That's not worth it. And people don't want to buy the box because the players know they can't profit off of it. So it's just dead product just sitting in a lot of these local shops' fucking place. They can't sell that shit. It's just dead shit in there,
A lot of Yu-Gi-Oh players, you know, that's true. But the chase cards is where you make your money.
Like, yeah. And pre-sales. I forgot they make all their money mostly through pre-sales, actually.
A lot of people who I know make a lot of money doing Yu-Gi-Oh! Shit. They fucking backpack vend. And what they do is just buy low, sell high. So literally, like, I know a guy who said he bought a bunch of U-Bell shit when the fusions were like $7. Now their fusions are like fucking $25, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he's waiting on a new support to come out so that way he could sell his product. So a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh! Players make short-term investments on decks or cards they know may go up in price.
Mm.
So on, think about it on the local level. One way they could make a little bit of profit is like the owner has to be a pseudo backpack vendor, which in my opinion, defeats the purpose. But you got to do what you got to do to make profit, of course.
Yeah, that's why like a lot of these shop owners get mad at backpack vendors because a backpack vendor doesn't have like an overhead.
$30 now, holy fuck! Oh, no, actually, no, it's $20.
My bad. I didn't work that out. Because a backpack vendor doesn't have to deal with like overhead, like an actual building. A backpack vendor is just a regular fucking dude just selling you shit, you know?
Right, but you also have a lot of backpack vendors who will eventually become local owners. And there's more than one. Like, I know two. I haven't been to his shop yet. I'm thinking about checking it out tomorrow. Of a guy who used to be a backpack vendor in my area. He has his own shop now.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it. So there's money in it. It just... I don't know how they're making it. Like, they do a lot of... It's a lot of hustling, bro. But it ain't for the week. And I feel like... I don't know where I came to this point. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, it's a lot of fucking work.
Yeah, the business side of it is fun.
I don't really think people break even as much as they think they do. I don't know.
That's what I was going to bring up, too. A lot of people who say they plus, that's the thing in Yu-Gi-Oh! To basically say you made profit. A lot of people don't even break... They don't even... Let's be honest with you, dude. You person can barely shower. Don't know what breaking even is.
I think a lot of them do. I just think a lot of them also.
I think a lot of them sniff their own farts too much.
A lot of people, when it comes to business, especially nowadays, they had a mentality either I'm going to be an entrepreneur and work for myself versus working for somebody else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, there's a respect to be gained from that. So imagine that. Like, imagine if me and you both had enough money to like work our YouTube full time. But we wouldn't be rich off YouTube. We would make enough to pay rent, buy a few groceries. But we have to.
That'd be fine, honestly.
But we don't make enough to be like a Logan Paul, Jake Paul. But we're like we make like 60K a year just doing YouTube.
What do you mean just make 60K? That means you're like at least upper lower middle class. That means you basically have a pretty good life at that point. Like 60K a year? That's pretty good, actually. 60K
a year is. I mean, it's good money, but my point
is certain areas, but not your area.
Like in Chicago, you can live on $55 to $60K a year in Chicago easily.
Yeah.
The problem is though, the cost of living is so much. So when you're working a job making $55 to $60K, your take home is really only really about $3,300 a month, maybe $3,400 because of taxes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're making that kind of money and rent is like $1,100 for a fucking one bedroom without utilities, without electricity. So if you want your own place, which every adult does, you need to make at least $4,500 a month. After, it depends on who you rent from. But some places be like, pre-tax amount what we'll go for your rent. Oh, this is what we want you to make after you pay your taxes. So let's say if they say, hey, we want you to make, Joseph, at least, so the rent here is $1,100. You got to make at least $3,300 a month to fucking rent here.
Yeah, because you know what happened during COVID and that whole squatter situation that's happening right now.
It's happening now in New York. Some lady just got arrested for about to be the squatter boss.
Yeah. Like, hey, that's what I'm saying. Lock your fucking doors now. Literally just lock. Make sure you always lock your doors.
Bro, that shit ain't right in Chicago. You'll get beat. People will kill you.
No. I want to know where these people live.
Try that shit in East LA.
If you try that out here, you are getting shot in the fucking stomach. You will die.
Try that shit in Compton.
Bro, then you're just dead. You're just fucking in a body bag somewhere. I'm just saying. Because you know the places that these happens in? The people that say they like New York were born in Queens. That's only going to happen in good areas like that because they know no one's about to like fucking do anything to them. Yeah, if you do that, I swear to anybody, if you do that here in this town,
if you do that in any hood, you're getting your ass beat. Like my coworker was telling me today at work that her cousin tried that squatting shit on her And she was like, one day her boyfriend had a talk with him, and then dude left. But he didn't want to leave. She was like, you got to go. I'm not leaving. And he was basically not paying her. He wanted to just try to squat. And then she told me what her boyfriend did was he'll get on the camera alarm and just yell the alarm, get the fuck out all day for hours. Her boyfriend's like a bum, right? He's like a bum. But this is the only thing he did that sounded like it worked. Annoyed a guy on the fucking camera or speaker. Get the fuck out, you bitch.
For me and that thing, why would that's so fucking weird to just go in someone's house and start living there? And then what's bad on that is that if I was some dude and my wife said, hey, there's another guy in my house, I'd be like, what the? I'm getting the bat. I would tell a person right now, if you don't leave, I'm bashing your fucking skull in, and I don't care. Bro, that makes you pull out a bat, most people are running.
Bro, a lot of people, they don't care. Bro, I saw a squatter video one time. Where the lady was paying rent for one room,
yeah,
and she refused to leave because she couldn't pay the rent.
Oh yeah.
But once you start getting mail there, they can't kick you out. So if I move to your place, after
30 days,
I move to your place and I get mail there. You're like, Chris, why do you got mail here? I'm like, I'm not moving. I'm staying right here. Squatter law, bitch.
Yeah. That's why these cities are ran like shit. Basically, you could work your entire life to get that home you finally wanted, that nice white picket fence and some Home Depot Felipe taco eating motherfucker could just get in there and just start living there with you. It's like, bruh.
Bro,
the person might rape your wife. The person might be a meth head.
They got these fucking Venezuelans getting free fucking living.
Yeah.
Free, you get $5,000. What they get? Free housing. They get $5,000.
Free prepaid debit Visa card or whatever and shit.
Fucking
$2,000 on that motherfucker. Yeah. Yeah.
It comes out of our tax dollars.
Yeah.
Bro,
yeah.
And you know that them Mexicans, they don't like each other, apparently. I didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
They beat with Mexicans a lot, apparently.
They rap all the same. Just saying. They spit bars the same way, bro.
It's kind of hard to tell. We sound racist as fuck. You can't hard tell the motherfuckers apart.
I'm just saying,
I'm joking.
They make tacos and make quesadillas. That's good enough for me. I dated a Mexican before.
Honestly, I don't know. I don't have no problem with nobody. I'm just talking shit.
No, so I want to actually go back to Yu-Gi-Oh, which is, does any of your locals sell comics actually, or they don't do that?
A few of them do. The ones I've been going to recently, no, but like, there's a shop I used to go to called Top Cut Comics that clearly sells comics.
So oh, yeah.
I used to get my Power Ranger comics that I never read. I used to just, you know what I used to do? I used to go do good at locals. I'll get store credit. They will say you have to use the store credit the same day. And I'm like, oh, guess I'll just grab a comic book. I mean, I don't read the shit, but maybe one day I'll get to read it. I'll read it eventually. They sell comics. And then, yeah, that's a couple spots that does it, but not a lot, honestly.
Yeah, because people are realizing there's not a lot of, like, trading card games and, like, it's nerd really stuff in general.
Figures, the pop figures are what sell. Like, the one shop I've been going to on Thursday is recently called Sully's Bowl, a really good shop in Bolingbrook, Illinois. It's like a fucking 45-minute drive from my house, like 30 miles away. I'm pretty sure they make their money off pops because their whole shop has, like, pops. If you look at my videos, pops all around the store from like top to bottom, and they obviously sell online, and they cater to like all card games. So they're big on Digimon, One Piece. They do all. It's like more of a gaming store. They don't just focus on like Yu-Gi-Oh or Magic.
Hmm. And you heard about the news recently that, you know, World's going to be in Seattle this year. And it's not going to be open to the public again. A lot of people were very mad about that, as they should be.
That was dumb, honestly. I kind of wanted to go to Seattle because Seattle, Washington, I know weed's legal there. So it'd be good to check out the dispensaries and how they do things out there. Yeah. Also, that's the home of coffee. But I can't go because, for one, I can still technically go, but I want to go. It just, there's no point of going because if I can't go spectate Worlds, or unless I'm competing in it, and that'd be a whole other story, then it's kind of dumb. Konami should have just let people go. It kind of makes the TCG players feel like, well, fuck. We tried our hardest to support this game, and we keep getting dick. Which is why I said nothing's going to change until people put their foot down and stop investing money. Like, if all Yu-Gi-Oh! Players banded together and said, hey, we're not going to buy product until we get better, I would appreciate it. Or if everyone just started harassing Konami and just email them, spam bot email.
Yeah.
But they're not going to do it because it's like what V said in his video. today.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're not going to do it. They're just going to do what they want to do. Keep eating shit until...
And there's player, and then they're going to have their shill YouTubers make videos telling people that this is such a great idea and they love us and all this bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to happen. Like, there's going to be people that have gaslit themselves into believing that that's an actual good idea. They themselves probably don't believe it, but they have to somehow in their brains conjure up some level of retarded logic to tell you that it's a good idea. Because, you know, Konami won't give them the newest product to open up for a video to get those thousands of views.
I mean, but do they really make a lot of money off those videos, though?
I mean,
it really depends on what kind of ads you get. So imagine getting a shitty block of ads for that video. Like, I did a vlog the other day. And it made a pretty hefty penny that I haven't seen in a while. Not a lot of money, but, you know, a decent chunk of the views I get. And I'm like, damn, you must have some good ads on this video.
It's the watch time. As long as people watch the entire video, that's what you get mostly paid by. The ads really don't mean as much. Because YouTube told you.
Watch time is nice. It keeps people clicking. It keeps YouTube recommending it.
Yeah.
But the advertisements is what gets people to give you the money. So
you
don't have a lot of ad blocker. If a lot of people who watched it with YouTube Red, then there's a lot of factors.
Well, keep in mind this, dude. Like those videos that you see that say sponsored by Konami, most people in the community, since Yu-Gi-Oh's their entire life, they don't have really nothing else about them. They don't really know anything else. All those people watch that entire video to see what's in the newest product. Like, what's the reprint? What's the rarity of the newest card? And you got to factor in those videos get like at least 50,000 views, at least, because people want to see what the newest product is.
At least a couple $100, maybe more for that video.
Have to be, 50K, and then people watching from the start to the finish. 10-minute video, that's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, it's probably like a $300 video they're getting paid.
Yeah, Konami doesn't have to pay you. You're already getting paid enough right there. You're getting a free product and your ads, the actual monetization of the videos there.
They're gonna get a rigged box with like fucking QCR errors and shit. They're like, oh my God, I can't believe I pulled it. Oh my God. Well, shut the fuck up. Konami literally probably sent you a pamphlet of everything in that box.
They literally probably gave you the same preview shit they gave the fucking distributor to give that shit to the local
probably gave store. A fucking binder and said, put everything back in the binder and mail it back when you're done. So now we just keep I would have put it back. Mail this shit back. We got to send it to somebody else.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God, man. So... I'm glad you've been getting back in and doing the vlogs, actually. I have been watching them. I'll mostly put them on the background when you put them up when I get home from work. Because usually when you release them, I'm at work. So I got to put it as a background noise when I'm at home doing
I'm always everyone's background noise. Damn.
But that is guaranteed
views. I'm the fly on the wall.
You gotta, man, you got to be putting out to get main monitor material. You got to be a fucking hot-ass bitch, though.
Yeah. I want the material that you watch after you beat off. So you're like, oh, I'm disgusted with my hand. Let me put on something to make me feel better about dirting off. Hey, I'm putting on Rogue Heroes video. Oh, now I'm staring at a dude. Let me clean this shit off my hand real quick.
Shit. Oh, God. Because like the vlogs have been doing pretty well.
And I know. I'm happy, honestly. That was like, whoa. Kind of shocked.
That's because I told you, man. You got to just stick it out. There's days where you're not going to want to do it. There's ones that you're going to put in your best effort and they're just going to do fuck all. You know, it's just how YouTube works. It's a fucking yo-yo. You know, the ones that you probably put out the best effort.
I'm so happy.
Shit. Fucking hell. I figured out that all people want in their YouTube videos is just a creative title and a fucking thumbnail. All I put in my latest video about the X-Men creator getting fired was I just put slanging his meat on OnlyFans. That's it. And people just reviewed it.
Okay.
It got about 80, but the average view time was at least 5 minutes. No. It got 80. It got 80 views, but the video's only 8 minutes long. It's like 10 minutes long, but the video was watched for about at least 5 minutes. I'm like, bro, I didn't. So if I title a video just regular.
You found your formula. Now you got to keep on repeating that shit.
Dude, on Twitter, all I put was Sydney Sweeney is hot. I got 26,000 views. That has more views than my highest YouTube video ever. You know how my original channel?
Hold on,
my original channel, my highest view video was like 12,000 views. That tweet that I put out, I just put Sydney Sweeney's hot. That's it. That's all I put in a picture of her. It got 26,000 views. I'm like, bro, what am I even doing anymore?
What about the actual likes and weeks reads?
Let me go see right now. I think the likes were like 30. It was like a few reads. Like a couple.
I thought you got like 26,000 retweets. I'm like, damn.
I wish.
I'm like, you went, bro. I went low key viral on Twitter randomly too, talking about King Von.
I hit on a video on there, somebody's post that like,
oh no, it's wrong. It actually grew.
Really? What is it?
I didn't check it. I'll just check right now. 64 likes, 6 retweets. Damn, all that because I just put City Sweeney's hot. That's all I put.
Where you know her from?
Oh, she was in a Madame Web. Where they don't show off her tits because, you know.
I have a comment I put on somebody's post about the rapper King Von. That shit got like fucking like, how many fucking, I keep getting like notifications about it like every other day. And this is like a year later. Let's see if I can find it. You can keep talking. I'm gonna see if I'm gonna keep
scrolling. No, maybe what y'all thinking, I should just take that picture right there, put my face in the thumbnail, and put Sydney Sweeney is hot, the return to women being actually women. I wanna see how many views that's gonna get. Oh my god. That's
no views.
She'll get like 20 views, two likes, no comments, the usual.
One would have been from Chaz. How you talking, Chaz?
Oh god, Chaz is still black, man. Can you believe that?
Okay, I found it. This shit got 66 reposts, 35 bookmarks, 1,900 likes, and
1,900 likes. Holy,
340k views.
Oh, I can't see.
Oh shit, hold on, let me see.
Oh, there you go. Oh my god.
Yeah, and all I said was people comparing King Von to like an utter hook. Pretty much all I pretty much said was like he wasn't really, because they were calling him a fucking
Yeah.
Damn, she's fucking hot. They was calling him fucking like a serial killer. I'm like, bro, he's not a serial killer. He was part of a gang. He performed his role as a shooter in the gang. The same way military does fucking missions for the military.
Yeah.
Bro, so many military guys got butthurt. I'm like, don't get mad because it's true. But I also had a lot of military people agreeing with me. So it was like, it caused like a big ass conversation. And I still get likes like a whole year later. I go viral. I haven't been viral on YouTube yet, and I don't mean to bring this on me. I know you were talking about your post.
No, you're fine.
Twitter and these other platforms are fucking weird. Like, I've been viral on Facebook.
Yeah.
Twitter. YouTube? No. Facebook, I made a fucking post about Kanye West on my Facebook meme account. Shit got like over like 1,000 retweets. Even my son's mom saw it and liked it. I'm like, she didn't even know that was my fucking page. She just liked it. I did another post that went viral. Yeah. They got stolen because I forgot to watermark it.
What's up, Gemini?
You know that meme that came around that everyone was looking at? Talking about some Yu-Gi-Oh! Players and different acts. Like I had like the Asian dude, the rapper dude. That was my meme I made. I made that meme. It had an Asian dude, a black dude, a white dude. That was my fucking meme.
What's up, John? Shit.
And everyone else copied the shit and got more views, but even my original post still got like fucking like 300 shares on Facebook.
Is that all people want? Is to, dude, the post where you put actual thought into like, hey, I did well at locals today. I went undefeated. You know, like 30 likes, five retweets, you know, debate, no comments. Just do a post of like what you just did there. No thought.
People like shit posts, bro. People love shit posts.
Just shit posting, and you will just get like a whole bunch of new followers and likes. So fucking stupid. Dude, I remember I think I had a 100K one because I had a 10,000 viewed one because I told this guy his fucking indie movie is dog shit and no one watched that shit. And I called it a $5 liquor store DVD and that shit got 10,000 views. Bruh. And I was talking mad shit to that dude. Cause I didn't give a fuck.
You know what's crazy about fucking like Twitter? Apparently, you can get paid for views on Twitter now.
Yeah, you got to reach 500 followers, and you have to have 1 million views within about 3 months. Yeah, so you have to pass 500 followers. If I get
500 followers on Twitter.
Yeah,
and I get 1 million views
within a million views. In a range of like, yeah, it tells you. Did you not see it? It's in the three little dots. You go to monetization. And you check monetization.
Yeah, 674 followers.
Well, you passed that one, so you already gotta have that.
I haven't
yet. Oh my god, they changed it. It was 1 million before, but now it's a little higher now. Good lord, that's a lot. So 500 followers, 5 million impressions within 3 months. But you can qualify for ad subscriptions. I think ad subscriptions is get verified, 500 followers. And active in the past 30 days, and you must be 18 years older. But I don't see people. I would feel so dirty if people subbed to me on Twitter.
Not eligible yet. How do I get that shit? Wow. I had to get verified. How do I get verified?
Gotta have a blue check mark.
Hold on. They said, hold on, what? So do I gotta pay for verification to get monetized?
Yeah, you gotta have a blue check mark. It's like $8 a month.
So I gotta pay to get paid? What the fuck, MSK? So hold on, and that's the reason why I'm not getting paid, because I'm too cheap to pay $8 a month.
Pretty much, yeah.
Look at this shit. I got a blue check mark. This shit just said, get verified. I'm like an old person. Now! I would not pay $8 a month. This is America.
Because, like, dude, I don't think who's gonna be like, I'm gonna be honest here. I would feel so dirty if someone subbed to me on fucking X. Like, don't give me money on that. That feels so fucking gross, bro. That's that. What am I gonna provide you on X? Some exclusive tweets of me fucking jerking off? Is that what people
fucking want? You're doing straight porn on Twitter. What happened to Chaz? You don't fuck with Chaz anymore?
I talked to Chaz Sundays and Thursdays for the League podcast. The
chat said that he left you for not getting clout. I'm like, what the hell?
Damn black men. God damn it.
Were they lying on Chaz's name? Okay.
Oh, God. But yeah, man, like, oh my Lord. But the monetization, I've seen people get like the checks in now. It's like jank $40, $50 when you ever get that big. But that's like just a free $50 though. If you just make tweets. Like, you're just getting paid for making tweets. Sounds pretty reasonable to me.
My balls itch. I'm gonna make a tweet right now. Shorty left me in the standby phase.
Oh my God. Oh my fucking God. Jeez, man.
I might act like I'm okay, but he left me in the stand.
Now he's just trying to shit post reviews. God damn it. What did I get him to do? Fucking hell. Good gosh. What have I done to you?
I don't know, man. I'm making shit posts now.
Oh, wow.
Look at this hot ass white bitch right here. See, I'm turning into MSK.
That girl got some fat titties.
Turning into old MSK.
Fuck.
Look at this dumb. You'll be like, look at this stupid bitch right here. I'm like, whoa, chill out, man.
Oh, so Dragon Ball. As you guys know, the creator of Dragon Ball, Akira Toriyama, passed away. Fucking sucks, you know? What did you think when that first initially happened?
What?
When you heard that Akira Toriyama passed away, what was your first thought? Yeah.
He died? Oh my God. No. I'm joking. I kind of legit cried a little bit. I teared up. At first I was like, that's fucked. You know, you're like, damn, that's fucking crazy. And I had like a flashbacks of me watching Dragon Ball as a kid.
Yeah.
I was writing a post on Twitter about him. Mm-hmm. I started getting teary-eyed. I'm like, am I crying? I'm like, holy fuck, I am crying. Like, I wasn't like bawling my eyes out, but I'm like, legit, like, I'm sad. Yeah. I felt very fucked up about it, honestly. All jokes aside.
I'm not going to lie, man. When it was announced, I was just in shock and disbelief because I just couldn't believe it. It's one of those, like, deaths where you're like, I don't believe it until I got to hear it from, like, a reputable source. And then the information started pouring in. And then the next day, I was just like, God damn, he's really gone. I remember all those memories of Dragon Ball and Super Saiyan transformations and all this shit. I remember Dragon Ball Super started. Man, everything. Like, dude, this is an anime where I think I've had everything from, like, the TV shows to the physical media, the games, the shirts, the fucking toys.
Like, why shouldn't it have been Chaim Saban? He fucked Power Rangers. Like, why did he still, like, take him...
But again, why is it always the bad people who live, but the good ones die?
Bruh, Chaim Saban fucked Tommy, fucked everybody else, man.
Oh, Lord, man.
Like, just... I didn't cry over my own grandmother on my dad's side, even though I love my grandmother. I shed tears, obviously, but like in private. I felt real like emotion. I tried to turn Super Saiyan when I was 9. Like, that fucked me up a little bit.
Oh, shit. No, man. It was one of those celebrity deaths that was just so impactful because, dude, if people don't know about Dragon Ball is one of those animes that made people feel, do things that they never even thought were capable in their brains. As of, like, there was a black guy that tried going Super Saiyan, but he's probably, like, Ultra Instinct by now, if I'm being honest here. He's probably, like, fucking mastered Ultra Instinct or some shit. He's probably bawling his eyes out right now. He's probably crying.
We're never going to get another episode of Super ever again.
Shit. I don't know what's going to happen with Dragon Ball at this point, now that he's gone.
I don't know. I don't think Akira knew what he wanted to do with it, personally. It's like, where do you go from here? Well, think about it. How do you end it without doing the same old shit?
So he had Dragon Ball Daima, remember? Huh? Dragon Ball Daima was coming up. I don't know how far he got into production about that.
But that's like Star Wars The Acolyte. If you know what I mean, it's pretty much, that's like a story that's in the past. So it's not really connecting to the main stuff. So it's kind of like,
yeah,
you know what happens already to the characters. So there's no real fun to it. It's like a side story. Mm-hmm. I personally don't care about watching filler arcs. Like, if it's really good, that's one thing. But it's kind of like, if it takes place in the past, why do we care about when Goku gets turned into a kid for the fourth time in the past?
Well, that's the thing is, like, no one even liked Goku turning into a kid in GT. It's like, well, I don't know who made that idea to just do that again.
I'm like, maybe it's a Japanese audience. I don't fucking know, but like, or what if Daima reveals that Dragon Ball Z was all a dream and Goku's just some kid in school?
Yeah, if they do that, then I'm doing that Peter.
They pulled a big O.
No, I'm instantly doing that Family Guy shit. Okay,
you know what Big O is, right? You've seen Big O, right?
Yeah, anime. Yeah,
fucking shit was a whole dream at the end.
Crazy, horrible. Fucking hell. That was like the Kobe Bryant one was pretty. That one hit. David Frank one was just like that, last.
JDF hit me. I didn't cry though. It hit. Kobe hit, but I'm not a basketball player or a watcher, so like, I just knew who Kobe was. I'm like, damn, that felt bad.
Yeah.
It kind of felt like when Michael Jackson died. It's like, I don't listen to his music like that. I mean, he has some bangers that I listen to, like Thriller and shit on Halloween.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not the guy to blast Michael Jackson every day. But that kind of felt weird. It's like, damn, these people are like famous. And it's like, if they can go, I can go any moment. Shit, and no one will give a shit.
Like, I don't know how many, like, properties like Dragon Ball can be made where they have the influence that Dragon Ball had on people. Like, we're talking like, I don't even know how to explain Dragon Ball's influence to people because it's just that massive. Like, it's one of those things where it just like transcends time. Like, everyone knows about it. Even people that aren't even fans of it know what it is because it's that impactful. You know?
Every like, parent had their fucking teenage boys fucking fighting each other, wanting to work out and turn Super Saiyan.
Yeah. Oh, God. Like, you know, people think of, like, gyms as, like, hyperbolic time chambers for people because they can work out and get stronger and come out buffer, like, all that stuff, man. Like, so many iconic scenes in Dragon Ball, too. Like, if you have to watch it like I did, man, you savored every single one of those fucking moments, you know? The Super Saiyan transformations, the one where he saved Goku, he saved Gohan and Krillin from Nappa when he first came back. It's like, it's over 9,000, all that stuff, man. Like, I was there watching when he fought Frieza for all those many episodes. You know, you have to, because back then you had to watch that shit week to week. You couldn't fucking, you know, we couldn't be binging that shit unless you had DVDs.
And they start over from the first episode. You're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, all the time. Yep.
Frieza saga, and the next thing you know, they start back at the start of the Saiyan saga again.
Yeah, that would happen all the time on Toonami. They would get all the way up to when Goku turned Super Saiyan, then right back to Raditz. Wait, you're like, wait, what? What? Yep. All the time.
Out of nowhere, you get the commercial. Oh, new episodes. You get super excited. You're like, yes, finally. And a new movie about Goku's dad. Fuck yeah. Set the DVR.
Did you see Dragon Ball Super Superhero?
I watched like the first couple of episodes, like the first 8 episodes, and I got bored of it. So I'm like super behind in it.
Oh, no. Like, the actual Super Series. Didn't you watch till you got Ultra Instinct?
Oh, I thought you were referring to Dragon Ball Heroes. Like, that.
Oh, no. I know. No. I meant I don't know. You don't follow Super in the manga, so.
No, I mean, I watched every episode of Super.
Okay. How do you look back on it now? Because it's been done for a minute.
It was really good. Every time I watch that Jiren versus Goku and Frieza fight, it still gets me pumped to this day.
Yeah.
It was good. It was, I mean, what more can you say? It broke the internet, literally. Like, I remember one guy I watched on YouTube, he was live streaming it on his stream. He had 30,000 viewers live watching it. on his live stream. That's how popular it was.
Yeah.
Like, it was fucking, like, that was the pay-per-view for nerds. If you're a Dragon Ball fan, that was like the shit that,
yeah.
Like, when Goku and Frieza was fighting together, fighting Jiren, and they and 17 had to come in with the assist, that shit was fucking epic.
I remember, I have my own issues with it, but there's one part that I always go back to and watch, because it always gets me pumped. It's when they fight Jiren for, like, Goku and Vegeta do, and they power up, and then Vegeta goes Super Saiyan Blue, and he does the other shade of it. I forgot what it's called, like Super Saiyan Blue Evolution or something like that. And then Goku does like the Kaioken Blue, and like the announcer steps in and shit like that. Like, man, that's such a hype fucking moment right there.
Yeah, it was really good. Like, I like the series. I think they had a lot of story to tell. I think it had the potential to do various spinoffs. Like, I would definitely watch the show with Jiren's universe. Thing was what, Universe 11 or whatever fucking universe it came from. I would love to watch like a Jiren series. I would love to watch like a fucking the Universe 6 series where like the fake Frieza and the other Saiyans that have the whole planet. Like, I would watch a series based on that universe alone. So that they had a lot of potential spinoff series. I think where the reason why we haven't got a series in so long for DBS is it's kind of hard to like keep writing the same shit and making it good. Like,
yeah,
basically the Dragon Ball has been for the longest fight the bad guy, kill the bad guy, save the world. Fight the bad guy, kill the bad guy, save the universe. Fight the bad guy, kill the bad guy, save the multiverse, which is what they did in Super. Where do you go to from there to save the multiverse?
Oh, you're gonna love reading the manga. The fucking
main character's best friends with God, essentially. What the fuck do you do from there? Like, the angels have a rebellion. Like, yeah, it's just the same plot. So it's
Yeah. Oh, the angels can't. Remember, it's revealed in the series they can't be good or bad. They have to be completely neutral, or Zeno gets to, you know, delete them.
But I think, honestly, they had a lot of story they could have told. But I think, honestly, he probably was getting ready to wrap it up. I know the Super manga has, like, a lot of stuff they could tell. But it's like...
Super manga just wrapped up the superhero arc. So, I think it's... And since he just passed away, I think people could be understandable that you're not going to be getting a new chapter for a little bit of time. Because, like, you got to get a new creator.
People who was working on that with him is probably still mourning his death, because it's not the same. Like, when you have, like, the old guy that you're cool with, and he dies tragically, I mean, it hasn't happened to me yet, but, you know, we all have a cold old guy that we worked with or we worked with that, like, if he was your boss or whatever, and he died tragically, it'll fuck you up a little bit, especially if you're close to him a little bit.
Yeah, and you got pills out of fat factor in if like his family or his son or kids were involved with the series, because you know Japanese people are, they want their kids to take over if they die. That, like, I'll tell any Dragon Ball fans out there listening, just you know, if you're not gonna get a new chapter for like a couple months, just you know, chill out for a little bit. I think you can wait. I mean,
they should make a new chapter, or do you think that they should wrap the series up?
Well, the superhero arc just ended. I don't know where they're gonna go after that, honestly, because you have Dragon Ball Daima, which is supposed to come out later out this year too. You have Dragon Ball Sparking Zero, which is coming out.
What
is that? It's Budokai Tenkaichi.
Oh, I thought it was like another series. Okay.
Oh, no. It's, I don't know, honestly. Because this thing, we know they're not going to stop it because they make too much money off the franchise. They're not going to ever stop it. Unless.
Man, they can always stop the main story and do spinoff stories. That's my thing.
I don't think people are going to be interested in that stuff, dude. I don't know.
I think, well, I'm thinking from a hardcore fan standpoint.
Yeah.
I realize most people aren't hardcore fans. Most people are casuals. Yeah. So if it's not Goku or Vegeta, they don't give a fuck.
Yeah, that's my thing. I don't know where the super manga is heading. I mean, I have possible ideas of where it could head. But Dragon Ball Daima, I don't know what that's going to be.
Well, then he has an apprentice, that Toyotaro dude, that can still write for him. So he was doing most of the writing anyway. So, and I heard a lot of the good story arcs we got came from him. Mm-hmm. So that's something. However, depends on if his family wants him to write it. You know, Japanese culture is weird, which is kind of like, going back to Yu-Gi-Oh!, it's kind of like why Yu-Gi-Oh! Is still in the fucked up position as it is anyway, because like, with a lot of old school people, a lot of old school businessmen, especially Japanese ones, from what I can tell, they're stuck in the old way of doing things, so they don't really care about really evolving what's already good. They just rather keep doing what they're doing. And if the money stay flowing in, they don't care. And then sometimes they might not give a fuck at all. Because look at what they did to Metal Gear Solid. That was a popular franchise. Mm-hmm. Unless Metal Gear, they predicted it to fall off. And they just decided to cancel it. But apparently the reason why they canceled Metal Gear is because the creator of Metal Gear, I guess, got into it with Konami. And they said, well, fuck you. We'll just cancel mm-hmm. your game.
That's because you know how Japanese culture is to a certain extent. Because I've been a little bit more informative with it. Because, like, you know, League of Legends has a big side of that. Because, like, the Koreans and Chinese are very involved with it. Japanese people basically function. No one doesn't know. It's like they work so hard to the point where their kids can take over. So, like, if a big owner of, like, a movie theater chain passed away, well, his kids run it. And that's what he'd work for, to give his kids the best life. Of, like, you could be a business owner that makes millions off of what I did for you. And they feel indebted to that because it's a way of repaying their parents. So, but that's the thing is, like, can, like, his kids run the Dragon Ball franchise? I don't know if they can.
2024.
No. It's also, do they want to run it? And that's the thing, Toei Animation has been treating Dragon Ball as a property pretty, like, nonchalant. They've been pretty much more focused on One Piece, honestly. You know?
Bro, One Piece is so fucking popular, man. Like,
yeah, One Piece is
I didn't realize how fucking popular. Bro, there was a guy, so I work in the optical industry. Mm-hmm. I sell glasses. There was a customer who came to my job. He had a One Piece sleeve. It was so fucking sick. My son has a bunch of One Piece figures. And, like, he loves that show. And, like, One Piece is a popular fucking show. I see it everywhere, more than Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball is, like, taboo. You might see it, like, the older guys. But a lot of the younger kids, or maybe, like, earlier Gen Z, they fucking love One Piece, bro. And yeah, Demon Slayer. I love that Demon Slayer shit, too. Even though anime's kind of shit.
How you feeling about, what's the last MCU movie you watched?
What was the last good one?
Shit. Maybe Spider-Man No Way Home, probably?
Probably that. Honestly, what was the last one that came out in theater that was somewhat popular? I probably went to go see it.
The one that actually had a hype was probably Spider-Man.
No, I saw one after that. Doctor Strange. I got the poster.
Oh, yeah. Doctor Strange too. Yeah.
I saw Doctor Strange. I liked it. I thought it was pretty decent. I watched Invasion. I mean, it was good when I was high, but if I'm not high, I wouldn't watch it. It has no rewatch value.
Yeah.
I don't really care about MCU at the moment because it's been shit. I'm excited for Deadpool 3. I heard that Henry Cavill got announced as Wolverine. I think he's too fucking tall to be Wolverine personally, but okay. I think I heard a rumor on Tyrone Magnus' channel that he was supposed to be Cyclops, and I thought he was perfect casting for Cyclops. Like, he looks like fucking Cyclops. He acts like Cyclops in real life. Henry Cavill, I can relate to him. We're both good-looking fucking nerds that work out. We got a little bit of muscle, even though he's like fucking... He's way more jacked than I am. He probably takes roids. Who knows? It's like, he's a relatable nerd to me. I don't know the nigga, but he's quiet. He's a little timid, but he's confident. That's fucking Cyclops. The geeky nigga that'll whoop your ass. That's Cyclops. Henry Cavill should be Cyclops. Wolverine is like more of an edgier, short dude, little guy complex type of nigga. Like, that's supposed to be Wolverine. Wolverine is supposed to be played by at least a 5'8 nigga like myself or like you.
Yeah,
5'9 dude, 5'8 like us. In the comics, Wolverine's 5'3. He's a short dude, but he'd fuck you up. Why hire another tall dude as Wolverine? Why not give the short king some fucking credit? I don't fucking know. I know everyone's like, oh, we can see it because he's hairy and he got the look. Who fucking cares? There's other guys who can play. Dude, hell, let him play Dr. Fucking Doom. He'll play a good Dr. Doom too, probably.
People just fan cast Henry Cavill and everything, and it's like, I don't think he fits all those roles that people are even talking about. Because, like,
do you think he'll fit Cyclops out of curiosity? I think he'll be a perfect fitting Cyclops. Be honest. What would you put him as? I think Cyclops or Dr. Doom would be dope.
Perfect. If he had an accent, I probably would make him Gambit if he had the Southern accent, but he doesn't, which fucking sucks because he looks buff like fucking.
He's an actor. He can fake that. If British people can fake American accents, Americans can fake Southern accents.
Because next week, you know what's coming out? Godzilla versus Kong 2. That's coming out.
Next week?
Yeah. Thursday.
Okay, nice.
Godzilla versus Kong New Empire. Yeah, next Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Know what I'm doing.
You go to the Thursday night preview, or if you just go on Friday. I'm going Thursday. That's one time I got.
Well, I work Friday, but my son will be over for spring break, so I know me and him have a haircut. I'm going to set up a haircut appointment for next week, and then we're probably going to check that out Thursday night by his house. So, yeah, that works out then.
Oh, shit, man. Like, fucking all these dudes out there now. Man, I know you're all, what the Yu-Gi-Oh side of Twitter is just fucking weird. They have all these trones and all these fucking weirdo people and their gender pronoun bullshit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's Twitter in a nutshell. What I've learned about a lot of people who are like, you know, I'm she, they, them. A lot of them are normal people. They just want to be left alone. But then you have the vocal ones on Twitter who just want to fucking harass people and argue. And it's literally COVID, but now it's not COVID anymore. The people who were during lockdown that became Twitter warriors just stay online and argue with people all day. If you pay attention to the shit, no one's really giving them energy. Not really. Because no one really gives a shit about what they got to say.
Unless and in real life, they're not like that. You know? They're well, about to run up to you and tell you that shit. They know they would get knocked the fuck out.
It's not even just that. It's like a lot of people just know how to balls to say things in people's face.
Oh, yeah, for think sure. Yeah.
Girls don't have balls to do anything at all. Some of them do.
Girls shouldn't have balls.
But most of the time, girls are like, they are naturally timid because they're women. You know, they have estrogen. They don't have testosterone. They're not really conflict people. Some of them are. Some of them are some masculine bitches, but most of them aren't. And a lot of dudes don't like conflict either. And then you think about factoring dudes that want to be considered girls, then you get a whole other layer of like fuckery. So, and that's my point I'm trying to make. I'm a little fucking stoned right now. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, that's okay.
A lot of people just don't like conflict naturally. You got to be a special person to just walk up to somebody and start some shit. Especially as a grown-ass adult. You know you can potentially get your ass murked.
You got to be that one black guy that was like, hey, my name is Tyrone. I'm going to fuck your wife. Yeah, if you look like that, no one's going to be probably talking back to you.
They would shoot you. And some dudes don't give a fuck. Some dudes, you walk up on them like that on some for real shit, they will punch you dead in the fucking, they don't give a fuck. Like, a lot of people do not care about your muscles. Don't mean you can fight.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you got big muscles. Sometimes muscles don't even mean you're strong. Like, you can have strong. You got big muscle, but you can still be a weak bitch. Like, literally. A lot of guys who get swole, they get swole off steroids and they lift really light. I mean, they still got some strength to them. Don't get it twisted, but like.
Yeah. How's the gym been going?
You can fight. I've seen swole dudes get folded online so much. It's fucking insane to me.
Well, how's the gym been going?
I guess so far so good. Last time I weighed myself, I was 214, so I've gained 7 pounds since working at my job. Okay. However, I've also gained a lot of muscle. Like, I've noticed, like, I get a lot of compliments on my shoulders. My biceps have gotten bigger. It's really just been consistency, man. Training 3 to 4 times a week, trying to get more protein in, not really counting calories or macro counting, just being consistent and focusing on my recovery, like getting a lot of sleep, slowing down on the alcohol. Like, I'm drinking tonight because I haven't drank since fucking Saturday. And I'm like, you know what? I haven't worked out today. So it's like a little cheat day for me to get a little alcohol in the system. Just to relax. I'm going to the gym tomorrow and just, you know, be consistent. Still got a little pot belly, but I got my gains coming in. I'm pretty satisfied. I get a lot of compliments, which I'm kind of, you know, when you're not used to getting attention like that, but you start getting attention, and it's kind of like it throws you off a little bit.
Yeah, it also is like a reminder in your head to keep you're on somewhat of a right track to keep doing it. You know,
and it's not that I never get attention from like girls, or it's not that I never get compliments from people, but like I've noticed an uptick in compliments, so that's how I know that like I'm looking better and I must be looking better because I'm getting compliments. Like, I had a guy at my job tell me, dude, your shoulders are fucking nice. Like, what do you do for your shoulders? Who's a customer? And I'm like, oh, I used to be a personal trainer. And, you know, I told him, like, I do a lot of overhead presses. And I showed him I was showing him, like, perfect form and shit. So, when I look at myself in the mirror, I'm like, oh, I'm just a skinny bitch. We always look at ourselves like a skinny bitch in the mirror. But people tell me I'm pretty kind of jacked. And I'm like, I don't see it, but okay. Like, sometimes I look at myself in the mirror and I just look like a fat bitch. Sometimes I like a skinny bitch. Sometimes I look like a fucking pale ape.
Gosh. That regional you went to, you Were you not tilted because you didn't get your invite? Because I think you.
I was very tilted. Was I not tilted? I played in weak at. What deck did I play? Did I play Heroes? I played.
No, you played Fire Kings. Yeah,
my deck was good. I was doing good up until because that regionals was the first regionals the new stuff became legal, and I heavily underestimated the new stuff. Like I did decent, but the games I lost it just made me realize how dumb the format was. That's all it is. That's all I'm gonna say.
Did you know? Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. Because I think you had mentioned a video how much you liked the format the way it was. You know, just one or two decks.
I liked it prior to the new format where the Snake Eyes support came out. Because prior to the Snake Eyes support, you had Snake Eyes Fire King, but it wasn't as overpowered. You also had a lot of variants of different decks that were really good. So the Snake Eyes Fire King deck was powerful, but wasn't overly consistent, and one hand trap could beat it. Just like every other deck. Nowadays, that deck, you can Nibiru the deck, doesn't matter. They can play through Nibiru. You can draw and lock the deck, doesn't matter. They can play through draw and lock, but have a nice field. You literally have to beat that deck with a Imperm Chain Nib. Drow didn't. You have to have two powerful hand traps,
yeah,
in order to beat that deck. Or you have to be playing the mirror match, and if you guys are equally good, it's going to be who draws the better hand. Or you have to play like a rogue strategy, like I'm doing, like Yubel, which even Yubel struggles against that deck because like the deck is good. Yubel's a good deck, but it's like, yeah, I can super probably your whole field away, but it doesn't matter if you're just going to make a new field the next turn and just get rid of my back row and then get rid of my monster by not destroying it. So you get to dodge all of their protection floating abilities. You're sending it to the back row of Flamberg's Dragon. And then you're setting up Omni Negation with your Junk Synchron play. So it's kind of like, the deck's really good. It's kind of like think of Pepe, but on a slightly slower scale. Like it could set up a nice field. Think of Pepe, if you remember that format, has like 3 to 4 interruptions with typically one Omni Negate.
Cause the thing that people forget in Yu-Gi-Oh! Man, because I know a lot of people complained when those hand traps like Nibiru came out, they were like, oh, this is like a new age version of Maxi. Do people not understand how Yu-Gi-Oh! Works? Doesn't matter what hand trap gets made at whatever current time period in Yu-Gi-Oh! Some hand traps were made that got better as the years went on. Like Drone Locker wasn't good when it initially came out. Nibiru was just good at route the gate because people were just like spamming a bunch of monsters on the field. The issue that people forget is the decks that card is good against at that current moment in time, they're going to make a better deck in the future where if you nip someone, it doesn't matter. You know, yeah. They eventually power creep their own power creep answers to decks in the past anyway.
Like right now, you nib that fucking deck. They're like, okay, play through. Like I nibbed a guy, and I kid you not, this is how good that deck is. I nibbed a guy, a rookie. He's a rookie to the deck. He told me he was he watched a few YouTube videos, so he knew the basic combos.
Yeah.
I nibbed him on his Snake Eyes play. He burned through all of his Snake Eyes resources, played Fire King Island, started his Fire King engine, made a decent field with Fire King monsters, and did something to bring back some Snake Eyes monsters and still had a powerful field. And I was just like, wow, you had the Fire King Island. This is fucking dumb. I was like, this deck, I'm like, I'm not even mad at you. This deck is dumb. I just laughed. I'm like, this deck is so dumb.
You know what like, my hot take would be to people that are going to end up watching this? I actually like that they did that. Because I hate when there's bad structure decks. They're worthless. They don't mean shit. I think we need more structure decks like that.
Fire King stuff is good. Yeah. The Fire King deck is amazing. But the fact that the Fire King deck with the Snake Eyes stuff works so good together, the Fire King deck becomes a backup plan for the Snake Eyes deck. So let's say your opponent starts off with their Snake Eyes stuff. If you somehow let them burn through all their resources with their Snake Eyes engine, and you hold your Fire King stuff, you can let them burn their resources, start playing your Fire King stuff, and come back with a good field still. Even with an even scarier field. But if they don't stop you with your Snake Eyes stuff, you still hold your Fire King stuff and still set up a very scary field. So the decks, it's worth, like, I'm not going to lie, if it wasn't so expensive, mm-hmm. I would still be playing that deck because I came into this year saying, hey, I'm tired of playing heroes. I want to play something more fun. I want to be competitive.
But well, what you really mean is I want to start winning. That's what you really mean.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And for the long, at the start of the format, I was winning mm-hmm. a lot with the pure Fire King deck I built. And when I was going to buy the Snake Eye stuff, when I found out all that shit was like, oh, this is 100. You need this for 200. Mm-hmm. I'm like, bro, I'm not dropping $1,000 on a Yu-Gi-Oh deck just to play at locals. So it's not fucking worth it. Mm-hmm. Can I play this deck? Yeah. Am I a good Yu-Gi-Oh player? In my eyes, I am a good Yu-Gi-Oh player. However, this is not worth the investment unless I'm traveling to every event. And who the fuck got time for that? You go to every regionals, every weekend, every YCS, I don't see how some of these guys have money. Like, you guys, a lot of these guys must be fucking rich. I'm like, how do you guys afford this shit? Am I just that poor? I'm like, I must be poor as fuck. These guys go to fucking big events every fucking other week.
Yeah.
5 times a year. I'm like, how? I'm like, you guys are fucking balling out of control, bro. I wish to be like you guys.
Because that would justify the price of you spending that much money on a deck, though, if you could go to regionals and compete with it on a somewhat consistent level. But if you're just at locals, there's no way you could probably justify spending that much money on a deck at just competing locals. Do,
like the guy I told you about who's a rookie with the deck, he definitely don't go to any big events. He just goes to locals. But I'm pretty sure the dude makes a lot of fun. He probably makes a good amount of money where $1,000 deck is not that big of an investment to him.
Oh, yeah.
He probably mm-hmm. makes 6 figures. I mean, mm-hmm. so in his case, that's good for him. But for the average Yu-Gi-Oh player making like 40 to 50K a year, like you can buy it. And I know people who do that just to play at locals. But to me personally, I'd rather spend that same money on food and weed. Not even gonna fucking lie.
Yeah, I'd rather just spend that much money on books, food, and my bills.
Bro, I just sound like a fucking crackhead. I said I'd rather spend
that money on fucking. My crack's just in different areas. Let's just say that.
I'd rather some people just better fucking buy hookers. Like I'd rather buy hookers and blow.
Now I understand all those drug dealers in those TV shows. Now I get it. I fully understand it now. I've seen the light. All right, last few things I'll ask you before we head out, you got any big plans for your channel coming up or just doing the same shit and just...
Same shit, just different day. Like, I did my two videos. I told my soul, Roberto Blake made a post on Twitter.
Oh, that's the guy. That guy's stuff was great. Yeah.
And I asked him earlier, at the start of this year, I told him I've been stuck at 21K subs for the longest and I want to grow my channel. He told me to pretty much commit to two videos a week. I forgot. It was something about small creators. And I commented and he said, he didn't say nothing rudely. He just pretty much said the short answer was make mm-hmm. two videos a week. So my goal is to make 100 videos this year. That's my goal. 100 videos.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much two videos a week. He said, commit to that for a year. Mm-hmm. My problem is I'll be doing YouTube consistently, then I'll take a break. Remember, over the wintertime, I kind of took a small break. Mm-hmm. And I ain't gonna lie, that was just me saying, fuck YouTube. I started a new job. Do I even want to do YouTube? Where is it getting me? I regret that shit heavily because I missed out on potential new subs. Mm-hmm. Fucking, you know, I was saying, fuck Yu-Gi-Oh! I was like, man, I'm tired of this shit. I was kind of ready to quit everything because I was like, after I was self-employed for a year, my life was just Yu-Gi-Oh, Instacart, and fucking trying to be a personal trainer. When all that shit failed, like my YouTube wasn't making a lot of money. It was making okay money, but nothing what I needed to make. It just makes side money. Yeah. My personal training career failed. And then the grocery delivery shit, that shit kind of like went to the shitter. So I got out before it got, I heard it's still shitty from watching YouTubers who still do it. So I was like, I was kind of depressed. I went through a little bit of a depression and I was like, man, fuck all this shit. I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this card game shit ain't got me nowhere. I've been doing it forever. I still like playing cards. I'm just going to take a break. I'm like, I needed a break to get my mind right. And I'm kind of glad I took that break. But also I'm kind of like pissed because like taking that break didn't do anything for my channel. But I will say this, though, it did recharge my batteries for it. So maybe it did do me some good, because before my break, I was getting like maybe 1,500 to 2K views. Then over the past couple of weeks, I just one day when I was at work, I don't stress over my videos. I just upload a video and whatever, how many views it gets, how many views it get. I look at my channel, like, damn, my last few vlogs have done pretty fucking good. A month ago, 2,300 views. 3 weeks ago, 2,500 views. 2 weeks ago, 2,600 views. 10 days ago, 3,200 views. 3 days ago, 3,600 views. Like, every blog's getting more and more views. So, like, I'm like, is this my breakout moment? Holy fuck. It's like, it's kind of like, damn. And maybe it's the thumbnails. I think my new thumbnail strategy has been working. I found a thumbnail strategy that works. I've been doing a lot of cutting myself out of the background, relayering it with like a fucking with a line over it and blurring the lines to make it look kind of like it makes it pop more. And so far, my thumbnail, I don't know if it's the thumbnails, the quality, my strategy working. So I'm just gonna keep doing it. When you find a strategy on YouTube, you gotta keep doing that shit. So
yeah.
To answer your question directly, I know I kind of got off topic, so I do apologize.
That's fine. That.
Nothing special going on, just my two videos a week. I do want to go to big events, but I'm planning on moving. I know I've been saying that for forever at this fucking point, but I finally make enough money that I can move out. Probably have to move to like a suburb somewhere closer to my job, just for that way I can, you know, find some a nice little spot to live on my own and just grow. So I'm just really focused on that. Like as long as I get my two videos out of the way, I'm happy.
Yeah.
But no special videos planned. I just want to eventually get a new camera for my computer, a new computer, and that's pretty much about it.
Yeah, same here. I told people that, because I did the video yesterday, I told people, hey, I'm going to commit to making sure I'm doing at least a video for you guys a day. And there's plenty of videos that I can clip out from like the podcast and upload them too. So I can cover a few days of just doing that. Because, you know, if you don't actually upload anything consistent, you're just not going to be on anybody's even like sidebars or recommendation, you know?
Yeah. So uploading consistently and sometimes the same day too, or if you're doing daily, the same time. Since I'm doing like maybe mainly two videos a week, or mainly my one video a week, my one vlog a week, every Sunday people expect a vlog. So
yeah, if you get your viewers hooked on something, you have an audience that day there for that video that is guaranteed to watch.
Exactly. And it doesn't matter if it's late or early morning, I'm going to get the same views. So I think that's my biggest win so far this year, because last year I did not have that. And then when I started doing videos consistently, not many views my first blog got? Fucking 1,400 views. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, I've never had a vlog do this, get this low. But that's because I took that break. I wasn't up to the radars. And there it happens. But also, I think, too, changing my deck up. I think people got tired of me playing heroes. So me switching to like a semi-meta deck and making it my own way, it was kind of like, wow, this dude's not one-dimensional. And now that I switched to like another deck, which is Yubel, everyone's like, damn, this dude's playing Yubel now. Like, this dude's really like, he's a good deck builder. So let's watch his channel to see what he does next.
Yeah.
So I think I got that little thing going for me too.
And last thing I'll ask is any shout outs you want to give to anyone in particular? Anything else you want to say before we head out?
Shout outs to my mom, man. You know, it's maybe, and I'm joking.
Shout outs to the Academy for this award. Yeah. Even though that's literally true, because that shit's rigged as fuck.
I don't really have any shout outs. Shout out to you for inviting me on. This is fun. You know, it's always a pleasure, of course.
Anytime, man. Yeah.
That's really about it, honestly. Like, I don't really fuck with nobody like that. Bro, shout outs to my son. But other than that, like, anybody else, I ain't really got nothing else to say. Fuck everybody. Peace among the world.
Yeah, you know, V, whenever he does his videos, oh my god, that man is fucking crazy. That man, well, I swear he wants to cuss Konami out so bad, but it's on YouTube and you gotta censor yourself. So that shit is always
tame. He be going in, man. I like watching V.
Oh, god.
I was thinking about V the other day. I'm like, he hasn't uploaded in a while. Then when he uploaded today, he said it was sick. I'm like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Man, I gotta get back into doing market watches. I love the thing is, I don't even care if they get that much views. I just love doing them. You know what I mean? Sure, I don't even
make fuck a channel. Views. Make a channel dedicated to nothing but market watches. I guarantee you'll have more subs than what you had last time.
That's what I was thinking about doing
for MSK's market watch. Is do a market watch every fucking day. You're full of one market watch a day.
Yeah.
Every day. Nothing else. No, don't even do fucking live streams. Just do your fucking market watch.
That's what I was thinking. For maybe like maybe you're making a second channel.
Maybe your one deck profile every 5 years, like you always do. And like, bro, I guarantee you, yeah, shit will blow up. It probably won't blow up a lot, but it'll get to a point where you're getting a fucking consistent income. But like, it's too easy. YouTube is literally consistent. People want to watch stuff.
Yeah.
Upload, build an audience, sell them the same shit, different day. If everyone else can do it, you can do it too, MSK.
Yeah, and you know, being rich and good looking, and hot too, and black.
Rich and good looking, bro. Like, look at Kodak Black. If he can do it, you can do it. The dude look like a gremlin, bro, and he gets bitches. If he can do it, you can do it.
Well, I want to say, you know, thank you to every single person who checked out this episode of the Iron Man podcast.
How many people was live watching?
How many people? On Twitter, we had about 24 people on Twitter.
Okay. We're on Twitter?
Yeah. The shows get way more viewers on X, or the fuck I want to call it now. Yeah. The
fucking porn site.
Fucking hell. I love X videos. X videos is fire. Just saying, bro, that X shit.
Trash. Pornhub, P-Hub is where it's at.
Pornhub is overrated, dude. That shit is garbage.
What's overrated about Pornhub?
Other than the sex don't, they don't get me off. That shit don't make me hard at all.
You gotta like hunt for like good videos on. But I feel like X videos show you all like old shit from like the early 2000s. I don't want to watch my fucking aunt get banged on X videos.
Well, sorry, thank you.
Guys. On X videos like it was filmed like fucking 20 years ago and on someone's fucking VHS recorder. I'm like, what the fuck is this? I'm not jerking off to this shit. What the fuck is this? I want to jerk off the 4K. I don't want to watch this bitch with the same hairstyle my mom has. This is weird.
God. There's some amateur porn that make my dick leak one time. That shit was too good.
Bro, amateur. I don't want to hear that, man. That's too much information, man. Amateur porn would be slapping, though. That's the best. that real shit is too fake.
That shit's too overrated, man.
I'm like, bro, you know that's like her 10th dick today. She does not feel that at all. They'd be like, oh, yeah, daddy. Oh, my God. I'm like, bitch, shut the fuck up.
You want to just get a fucking hammer and clock that bitch.
Bro,
good Lord.
Have you ever laid down with a bitch?
No.
Daddy. And I'm just like, what the bro, I had a bitch try to call me daddy one time. I'm like, it made me cringe so hard. I'm like, bitch, shut the fuck up. This is not a porn. I don't want to hear you call me daddy. Bro, I don't know. That's the most, bro. That is the cringiest shit ever, bro.
Good the poor Lord.
Bitch made it cringe, bro. Yeah, daddy, I'm coming. Oh, daddy, you want this, daddy? I'm like, oh, yeah. But anyway, I'm just talking, bro.
No. I'm just rereading some of, you know, what's his name? Roberto's posts. Roberto's posts are super insightful. That's one of those guys that just Anthony read one of their posts that... The guy who gives out the YouTube advice and life advice and shit.
Oh, Roberto Blake, yeah, he's cool. He has comments on my. He replies to me a lot. He's pretty chill.
God, man.
He's probably watching it right now and shit. Literally, you know.
It's one of those fucking guys where he's one of those people that just has incredibly base takes just in general. It's like I've very rarely ever seen that dude have an L take, honestly.
It's because he's mature and wise. That's all that really is.
And black.
I mean, black comes with maturity.
Oh, I was going to ask you. God damn, I forgot. Are you going to watch X-Men 97?
That faggot show? Hell no. I want to protect my virginity.
Well, the first two episodes are out now. So, you know. I'm going to get... I told people I was going to watch it. Yeah, I told people I was going to watch and review the first season. So, the first season doesn't do it for me, then, you know.
I heard that shit gonna be dead on arrival, man.
I don't know. That thing, man, you gotta make those clickbait YouTube videos. That's the thing. It's even if something's not dead on arrival, those videos title like that.
You're gonna hate watch it.
I don't know what to expect. I saw the trailer and the trailer looked fine, in my opinion. It looked okay. You know, it didn't like do anything that bad to me, but you never know, man. You just never know.
Bro, but Storm had a feminist haircut, man. Didn't it make you mad?
Storm? No, that's comic accurate. She's had the haircut before, just no one likes it. I don't know why they keep doing it. No one likes that shit. She looks ugly like that. She looks like a fucking ape. But thank you guys for watching and checking this episode of the Iron Man podcast. I have some more content coming out for you guys. You guys are going to absolutely enjoy it. And thank you to Roke here for coming on again. And we'll see you guys later. See you guys later.